This episode of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is brought to you in part by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide at easybiblenamesguide.com. Welcome to a short week of the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 610. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. If this is your first time here, where you been? Thanks for joining us. You may be late to the party, but late is better than never. I hope what you hear is to your liking. If you've been around these parts for a while, I appreciate you, and I'm glad you're back once again. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. Here's how. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we've been reading the Old Testament, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's been the New Testament. This week, however, we're only going to read the Old Testament today and the New Testament tomorrow. Why? Well, because today's reading will complete the reading of the Old Testament for this time through the Bible, and tomorrow we'll complete our second reading of the New Testament for this time through. On Wednesday, if you care to listen, I'll release an episode in which I'll talk about my plans for this show and what my plans are for the future. I hope you come back for that. Today we'll read the little four-chapter book of Malachi, which, as I said, is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi is another Old Testament prophet about whom we know very little. Here's what we do know. His name means my angel. That's about it. Judaic tradition holds that Malachi was from the tribe of Zebulun and that he did not live a long life. The message of the book of Malachi contains God's charges against the people for the neglect of the rebuilt temple. You'll remember that the prophets Haggai and Zechariah brought reproof for the people's neglecting to build the temple. In Malachi's time, the temple's been built, but now it's neglected. Also in this book, God charges the people with profaning the temple by their behavior while there. And there was a period of about 400 years between Malachi and the birth of Jesus. Before beginning this period of silence, God used Malachi to speak more about the coming Messiah, and he told the people that his coming was close. 400 years might sound like a long time to us, but in the scheme of things, it's not really, is it? And then finally in the book, the people are reminded to keep the Mosaic Law as they watch for the Messiah. Let's get started. Malachi chapter 1. This is the message that the Lord gave Malachi to tell the people of Israel. The Lord says to his people, I have always loved you. But they reply, how have you shown your love for us? The Lord answers, Esau and Jacob were brothers, but I have loved Jacob and his descendants, and I have hated Esau and his descendants. I have devastated Esau's hill country and abandoned the land to jackals. If Esau's descendants, the Edomites, say, our towns have been destroyed, but we will rebuild them, then the Lord will reply, let them rebuild. I will tear them down again. People will call them the evil country and the nation with whom the Lord is angry forever. The people of Israel are going to see this with their own eyes, and they will say, the Lord is mighty even outside the land of Israel. The Lord Almighty says to the priests, children honor their parents and servants honor their masters. I am your father. Why don't you honor me? I am your master. Why don't you respect me? You despise me, and yet you ask, how have we despised you? This is how, by offering worthless food on my altar. Then you say, how have we failed to respect you? I will tell you, by showing contempt for my altar. When you bring a blind or sick or lame animal to sacrifice to me, do you think there's nothing wrong with that? Try giving an animal like that to the governor. Would he be pleased with you or grant you any favors? Now, you priests, try asking God to be good to us. He will not answer your prayer, and it will be your fault. The Lord Almighty says, I wish one of you would close the temple doors so as to prevent you from lighting useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you. I will not accept the offerings you bring me. People from one end of the world to the other honor me. Everywhere they burn incense to me and offer acceptable sacrifices. All of them honor me. But you dishonor me when you say that my altar is worthless, and when you offer on it food that you despise. You say, how tired we are of all this, and you turn up your nose at me. As you're offering to me, you bring a stolen animal or one that is lame or sick. Do you think I will accept that from you? A curse on the cheater who sacrifices a worthless animal to me when he has in his flock a good animal that he promised to give me. For I am a great king, and people of all nations fear me. Malachi chapter 2. The Lord Almighty says to the priests, "This command is for you. You must honor me by what you do. If you will not listen to what I say, then I will bring a curse on you. I will put a curse on the things you receive for your support. In fact, I have already put a curse on them because you do not take my command seriously. I will punish your children and rub your faces in the dung of the animals you sacrifice, and you will be taken out to the dung heap. Then you will know that I have given you this command so that my covenant with the priests, the descendants of Levi, will not be broken. In my covenant, I promised them life and well-being, and this is what I gave them so that they might respect me. In those days, they did respect and fear me. They taught what was right, not what was wrong. They lived in harmony with me. They not only did what was right themselves, but they also helped many others stop doing evil. It is the duty of priests to teach the true knowledge of God. People should go to them and learn my will because they are the messengers of the Lord Almighty. But now you priests have turned away from the right path. Your teaching has led many to do wrong. You have broken the covenant I made with you. So I, in turn, will make the people of Israel despise you because you do not obey my will. And when you teach my people, you do not treat everyone alike. Don't we all have the same Father? Didn't the same God create us all? Then why do we break our promises to one another? And why do we despise the covenant that God made with our ancestors? The people of Judah have broken their promise to God and done a horrible thing in Jerusalem and all over the country. They have defiled the temple which the Lord loves. Men have married women who worship foreign gods. May the Lord remove from the community of Israel those who did this, and never again let them participate in the offerings our nation brings to the Lord Almighty. This is another thing you do. You drown the Lord's altar with tears, weeping and wailing, because he no longer accepts the offerings you bring him. You ask why he no longer accepts them. It is because he knows you have broken your promise to the wife you married when you were young. She was your partner. And you have broken your promise to her, although you promised before God that you would be faithful to her. Didn't God make you one body and spirit with her? What was his purpose in this? It was that you should have children who are truly God's people. So make sure that none of you breaks his promise with his wife. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. I hate it when one of you does such a cruel thing to his wife. Make sure that you do not break your promise to be faithful to your wife. You have tired the Lord out with your talk, but you ask, "How have we tired him?" By saying, "The Lord Almighty thinks all evildoers are good. In fact, he likes them." Or by saying, "Where is the God who is supposed to be just?" Malachi chapter 3. The Lord Almighty answers, "I will send my messenger to prepare the way for me. Then the Lord you were looking for will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger you long to see will come and proclaim my covenant. But who will be able to endure the day when he comes? Who will be able to survive when he appears? He will be like strong soap, like a fire that refines metal. He will come to judge like the one who refines and purifies silver. As a metal worker refines silver and gold, so the Lord's messenger will purify the priests so that they will bring to the Lord the right kind of offerings. Then the offerings which the people of Judah and Jerusalem bring to the Lord will be pleasing to him as they used to be in the past." The Lord Almighty says, "I will appear among you to judge, and I will testify at once against those who practice magic, against adulterers, against those who give false testimony, those who cheat employees out of their wages, and those who take advantage of widows, orphans, and foreigners, against all who do not respect me. I am the Lord, and I do not change. And so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not yet completely lost. You, like your ancestors before you, have turned away from my laws and have not kept them. Turn back to me, and I will turn to you. But you ask, 'What must we do to turn back to you?' I ask you, is it right for a person to cheat God? Of course not. Yet you are cheating me. How, you ask? In the matter of tithes and offerings. A curse is on all of you because the whole nation is cheating me. Bring the full amount of your tithes to the temple so that there will be plenty of food there. Put me to the test, and you will see that I will open the windows of heaven and pour out on you the abundance of all kinds of good things. I will not let insects destroy your crops, and your grapevines will be loaded with grapes. Then the people of all nations will call you happy, because your land will be a good place to live. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you ask, what have we said about you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What's the use of doing what he says, or of trying to show the Lord Almighty that we're sorry for what we have done? As we see it, proud people are the ones who are happy. Evil people not only prosper, but they test God's patience with their evil deeds and get away with it. Then the people who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard what they said. In his presence there was written down in a book a record of those who feared the Lord and respected him. They will be my people, says the Lord Almighty. On the day when I act, they will be my very own. I will be merciful to them as parents are merciful to the children who serve them. Once again my people will see the difference between what happens to the righteous and to the wicked, to the person who serves me and the one who does not. Malachi chapter 4. The Lord Almighty says, the day is coming when all proud and evil people will burn like straw. On that day they will burn up, and there will be nothing left of them. But for you who obey me, my saving power will rise on you like the sun, and bring healing like the sun's rays. You will be as free and happy as calves let out of a stall. On the day when I act, you will overcome the wicked, and they will be like dust under your feet. Remember the teachings of my servant Moses, the laws and commands which I gave him at Mount Sinai for all the people of Israel to obey. But before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, I will send you the prophet Elijah. He will bring fathers and children together again. Otherwise, I would have to come and destroy your country. There are two kinds of people who study the Bible. Those who write notes in the margins and highlight verses, and those who would never think of writing in their Bibles. What kind are you? Personally, I'm the kind who writes, highlights, underlines, and circles. I want to be reminded of what impacted me about a particular verse when I revisit a passage of Scripture. A reviewer of Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide on Amazon, who goes by the name of Lovin' My Crochet, must be like me. They wrote, I write many pronunciations in my Bible. That's a great idea. That way, when they're reading along, they're reminded of how to correctly say the names. That's a fantastic idea for using Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. If it sounds like a good idea, I invite you to go to easybiblenamesguide.com and pick up a copy of Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide for yourself. It's available as a PDF that you can download right away, or you can order a physical copy. If you're not sure if my book can help you, then I want you to have a free copy, all the Bible names that begin with a letter A. I'm pretty sure that once you see how easy I've made it to say those names, you'll want your own copy of the book, and you'll see what a great Christmas gift it'll make. That's easybiblenamesguide.com. Thanks. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. Well, there it is. We have finished the reading of the Old Testament. For me, this concludes my third recording of the Complete Bible. How many times have you read through the Bible? Please, please, please don't let this be your last time. My great-grandmother read through the Bible several times, and I know that in my three recordings, I've always been struck at what I missed in previous readings. The Holy Spirit speaks to each of us in a unique way each time we take on this journey. F.B. Meyer wrote the following in his commentary on Malachi. And before I read it, I need to tell you that his use of the word type means a foreshadowing. So listen for the word type. When you hear it, that means foreshadowing. All right, here's F.B. Meyer. He said, "The Son of Righteousness," and that's sun as up in the sky, "The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." That's from verse 2 of chapter 4, by the way. Meyer continues, "At the end of the Old Testament, it is meet or appropriate that the sun should break out. The morning that broke on paradise was clear enough. It was without clouds, but the sky soon became dark and at last veiled, with only here and there a chink of blue sky left. All through the dark succeeding centuries, there have been gleams of sunshine to let men know that the sun was shining still. Every precious promise, every solemn type, every holy life that was bathed in supernatural beauty was like a shining forth of the sun through the bars of human darkness and sin. But evidently, more was in store than the Old Testament saints had dreamed, and the time was coming when the reign of type, symbol, and parable would be succeeded by the clear vision of the face of God. We live in the days of open vision, Meyer continues. Let us go forth and exalt. We are to rejoice in every good thing He gives us. As the young calves of the early spring manifest their exuberant life in their caperings and gambols in the pastures, so let us give expression to our joy. Exult because of the clear shining of God's love. Exult because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Exult because He is coming again as surely as He came once. Wake up, my soul. Take psaltery and harp and sing. The bridegroom is at hand. Hark, are those His chariot wheels reverberating through the air? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Feedback? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Hey, don't forget to go by EasyBibleNamesGuide.com and pick up copies for everybody on your Christmas list who loves the Bible. EasyBibleNamesGuide.com. I'll see you tomorrow when we conclude the book of Revelation. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.